That's a neat idea. I don't know who thought of that. All right, let's get our Bibles open now just for a minute this morning. And we're going to turn to Psalm 119. That's the longest chapter in the whole Bible. Everybody's got to be quiet now. All y'all, listen, got to be quiet. Can't talk no more. Remember what I said in the Sunday school a while ago? We're all going to be like this and be nice. Here we go. Now, all right, waiting on the rest of y'all right over here. We're waiting on everybody to be quiet. All right, now we're doing good. A little bit different. We got as many kids in here as we got this morning, but want you to listen, get something from the Lord. Now, this morning, I'm going to take a verse out of the longest chapter in the Bible, and I'm going to preach on a verse that I have never preached. I've preached thousands and thousands and thousands of times, and never just use this verse. This is the first time. And it's not really what you'd call a Sunday morning sermon. I guess, you know, they've got ideas of how preachers are supposed to do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and it don't have to be that way. But actually, it's for everybody in here, and it's for a lot of folks that are not here. And I'm going to take one verse out of this chapter. This is the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, and I want you to look way over toward the end of it at verse number 165. Verse 165. And I want you to pray for me this morning just for a few minutes as I try to bring this thought the Lord put on my heart the other day. This is not going to be the best sermon you've heard in a long time or nothing, but it is a thought that God put on my heart. So you listen carefully. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, the last part of the verse is what I'm preaching on this morning. Nothing shall offend them. I've been around church people since I was 18 years old. I've been pastoring a church 30 years now, a little over 30 years now. I have met a many of them, coming and going. And one of the problems you have in churches, we have it here in our church, I've never been to a good church yet that didn't have this problem, is this matter of people getting offended. And it's almost got to the point of ridiculous in a lot of churches, where some people absolutely cannot be satisfied no matter what you do. It doesn't matter how hard you preach, they're not going to like it. Doesn't matter how nice you are, they're not going to like it. It doesn't matter how warm the building is, it's not comfortable, it's too cold. But that Bible said that if you love God's law, nothing will offend you. Well, that's a statement, isn't it? I didn't say that. That's what God said in the Bible. I got to thinking about that, and I thought of all the people that I meet people all the time. Where you go, well, I used to go down here at so-and-so, but I just got offended. And the word offended, I looked it up in the dictionary, and it means to be hurt or wounded. I got my feelings hurt. Basically, that's what it means, got my feelings hurt. And you've got to understand that there's going to be times when you do get your feelings hurt in this work. There's going to be times when things happen that rub you the wrong way. But let's just talk about it this morning. Boy, I remember the first time when I first started pastoring church, I like to drove myself crazy. If I found out somebody said just the least little thing, that it drove me up the wall. I remember somebody said one time it's too hot in the building. I thought, oh my goodness, they're going to quit. Lord, don't let them quit coming. Lord, please. And I made sure it was cooler the next time and everything. And I thought, boy, if I said something and it hurt somebody's feelings, I like to drove myself crazy trying to not hurt everybody's feelings. And then I found out one day, it sort of dawned on me that if a person is looking for a reason not to go to church, it's very easy to find one. Ain't that right? And it's just like a husband and wife relationship. It's just like a husband and wife. You know, if any wife in here really wanted to leave their husband, they could do it and write a list of stuff that long, how come they're right in doing it? and have a point, couldn't it? Well, he done this, and he hurt my feelings. We was on a date 15 years ago, and I've never got over it. Now, you can build a case against anybody. Any man in here could leave his wife and say, well, she burnt the biscuits one morning, or she didn't even cook them biscuits one morning. She boiled the water too hot. He left his socks laying on the floor. Nobody get up. Don't nobody ever get up. Everybody got to stay down. That's good. Remember that little talk we had in Sunday school? That's good. Now, listen, and you know what? He left his socks laying in the floor. Well, that preacher didn't shake my hand. And I tell you what, I went to that church for so many years. I put a lot of money into that church. You know, all the money you really give is what you give above your tithes anyway. Your tithes, you don't give your tithes. That God already owns that. You're stealing from him if you don't give it. Ain't that right? And so I'm going to talk about being offended this morning. You ready? I'm going to talk about it this morning, and it's going to help us all, so you listen. Number one, I'm going to say if a man loves God, that's what this book said, if you love the Lord, nothing shall offend you. I found out there's some people, you can't run them off. I've tried to, and you can't get rid of them. They're like an old dog, man. You can kick them, get their feelings hurt. I try to put more ministries on them, make them do everything, and you can't get rid of them. That's good. If a man loves Jesus Christ, and he loves that Bible right there, he's going to be in church. Amen? That's right. You can't get rid of it. I made up my mind a long time ago. The brethren didn't save me. I'm not going to answer to the preachers one of these days. God saved my soul. The Lord changed me. Him I'm going to answer to. And buddy, I'm going to run this race by the grace of God and stay in here if it higher lifts everybody. Amen? I'm telling you this morning, nothing shall offend them. We was talking about last night at the prayer meeting. We was down here. Brother Jason made a statement. He said, you know, the church ain't never let me down. I feel the same way. I've let the church down, but the church ain't never failed me. You've got to get rid of this attitude of, well, the church wasn't there for me, and the church failed me. You ought to thank God that you're allowed to be a part of the church. You ought to thank God that he ain't wiped us off the face of the earth, that he's given us the privilege of coming to church, and the book said nothing will offend you. I want to say, first of all, this morning, the preaching won't offend you. You know what? You won't get offended by preaching. Listen, you might preach me to the altar, but you ain't going to preach me to the house. Amen? Amen. Amen. But I've sat through some, too. I mean to tell you, I've sat through some. I've sat through some of the sorriest, dumbest, craziest preaching ever been known to man. But by the grace of God, I've made up my mind, I'm going to sit here on this pew, and you are not going to preach me to the house. By the grace of God, the preaching won't offend you. If you love this book, if a man's telling you what's in this book, it is not going to offend you. Now, some idiot gets up here and says a bunch of stupid stuff, and they do that from time to time. What you do with that, you just let it go in one ear and out the other. Just let it go right over your head. You eat the chicken and leave them bones in your plate. I have been to some revivals where you got was bones, but you didn't even get no chicken. But that, it won't hurt you to pass one meal or two there. Listen, you know what? In a regular church service, you just say, if a man's in that book, then I'm going to back him up. If a preacher can show you something in the Bible and say, this is what the Bible says. If you love the Lord, that's not going to offend you. You may not live up to it. It may cut you upside one side and down the other. It may convict you, but you're going to say, well, he's right. What the book says. What the book says. You know, if a man gets offended at the book, something's wrong with it. A preaching won't offend you. Lord have mercy. I ain't got time to tell you the stories of stuff I've said that offended people. Lord have mercy. I know a preacher who didn't call on somebody to dismiss in prayer one morning, and people got mad and upset about it, got offended. You know how sometimes preachers are going to say, you're at liberty to go? And got mad at him because he didn't dismiss in prayer. There's a man up at New Manor one time. There's a man been coming for a while, and somebody came to me after service, and they said, Brother Danny, you better watch it. He's coming at you. He better watch it. He's coming at you. I said, who's coming at me? They said, that old guy there. He said, he's going to come up here and rebuke you if you said that one more time. I said what? He said, he's really offended. He said, when you call the kids up here to sing, he said, the way you call them kids up here to sing, said, that man, he said, if you've done that one more time, he's coming at you. I said, done what? They said, to call them kids. I said, all the kids come and sing. I don't know how much nicer I can say it. And you know what he's mad about? He's just mad at me about calling the kids kids. He said they're children. They're not goats. So that's what you think. He was mad about me calling kids kids. It never crossed my mind that anybody get offended. I think he finally quit coming. They said, I cannot believe he would stand up there and call those precious children kids. I went, well, what are they? I say demons be about that. But I mean, kids sounds a little bit nicer. Lord have mercy. I told you before. Oh, Ed Blue said one time, Ed Blue's old mountain preacher over in Tennessee, and he said, a lady came up to him one time and she said, I cannot believe you. Said, I'm never coming back to hear you preach. You offended me through that whole message. He said, ma'am, what did I say? She said, it's not what you said, it's what you did. He said, what did I do? She said, the way you were doing, you know what you were doing. He said, ma'am, I'm sorry, I don't know. She said, you did it through the whole, you know, make a long story short, you know what she is offended over? Ed Blue wears glasses, and sometimes when a preacher wears glasses, he just print it like his glasses start, and he'd push his glasses, and he'd take his middle finger and push his glasses up. Really, and this woman's got all bent out of shape. Now, what kind of a dirty mind do you got to have to be sitting there and the preacher puts his glasses up and she thought he's shooting a bear to her? Ain't that awful? That's awful. I'm telling you, you can't move. That's right. Did you know men get mad sometimes when a preacher points his finger? That's why when you go to seminary, they teach you to do this. And we seek to please Christ. So that you don't point at people, that's bad manners. I don't see nothing wrong doing that. You know, I ain't got the balls here or something like that. I mean, but you just point your finger at a man and say, you, and you. Get right down here and get right with God. That's right. Ain't bad manners point your finger if you're preaching, you're supposed to. Ain't bad manners stomp your feet. Ain't bad manners scream, holler. Ain't bad manners to say, ain't. Ain't right, you ain't supposed to say it, but it sounds good in its country, and it'll work and get the job done. If you love the Lord, preaching won't offend you. I said, there's a lady come up to D.L. Moody, a real sophisticated lady one time, and she said, I counted 17 grammatical errors in your sermon tonight, Mr. Moody. He said, yeah. See that? She said, yeah. And he said, I'm using that for the glory of God. What you using yours for? Enough, the preaching ain't going to offend you if you're right with God. I told this story before, but since it's this time of year, I'll remind you again. This lady called me one time, been 20 years ago. She said, is this Denny Castle? I said, yes, ma'am, it is. Boy, when they have that kind of tone of voice, I just wish I hadn't answered the phone. She said, I have a complaint. I said, what's that, ma'am? She said, it's this literature you people are giving out. I said, ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. Do I know you? She said, well, you do too. These people from your church are out here at the shopping center in Marion giving out all this literature, and it's got my son all upset. I said, something like, ma'am, well, how do you know it's that? Well, it's got your name on it. I told them boys not to stamp them tracks, just give them out. I used to tell them not to put their name on the bus. I said, I don't want our church name on that bus. You seen how them boys drive me? They knock people's mailboxes over, get stuck in the yard. That woman called me one time, real cussed me out. She said, if that bus turns around my yard one more time, I'm going to call the cops. They've knocked our mailbox over. They've got stuck in the ground. I said, take the names off the bus. That way they won't know who's doing it. But I believe they could figure it out, you know. They'd probably figure it out. But anyway, she said, I got a complaint. I said, what's the matter, ma'am? She said, my son is all to pieces. She said, we were out Christmas shopping. She said, you people got him going. I said, ma'am, I don't even know what you're talking about. She said, it's this literature. And they was giving out these tracts. There's a tract about like that right there. And it had a, the name of it was Ho-Ho. Like Santa Claus. And it had a picture of Santa Claus on the front of it, but it had horns sticking out right here, and you had a pitchfork. Y'all ever remember that track? You probably never seen them, don't you? It's a long time ago. I don't ever see them no more. It was pretty rough. It really was. That was a stout track. But and it had Santa Claus like this, you know. That's giving a new meaning to that word. Y'all know what happened, don't you? They said Christina Aguilera and Lindsay Lowdown and Britney Spears all stood up and said, what do you think about that, Santa Claus? He said, ho, ho, ho. But that was a different kind. It had ho, ho on the front of it. And they had this pitchfork, and he had horns, and he had a tail. And she said, it's got my son twirled to pieces. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I said, please, you got to understand, all we're trying to do is try to tell kids that at Christmas, that the devil's stealing the glory from Jesus, and that we're trying to put Jesus, I tried to explain, we're trying to put Jesus first, and Santa Claus stole all the, you know, I tried to be as nice. She said, well, it's got him all through pieces. I said, look, just tell him that his daddy is really Santa Claus, and therefore he gets it. She said, that's the problem. I done told him that. Now he thinks his daddy's the devil. I said, oh my goodness. I said, I am so sorry. She said, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, well, what's your address? And I went and bought that kid a Christmas present and mailed it to him. I never did hear nothing else from him. But you know what? If you love the Lord, that preaching ain't going to offend you. Somebody said, well, he didn't even shake my hand. He walked right by me and shook my hand. I didn't shake my hand. Or he did shake my hand. He shook it too hard. Or he didn't shake it hard enough. Or he shook somebody else's and walked right by me and didn't speak. Listen, my job is not to be nice to you. I mean, I try to. My job ain't to shake your hand. That's not what you have a preacher for. My job is to preach you the Bible just like it is to you, just like you are. And if you love the Lord, that won't offend you. My job, listen, you know, to be a pastor nowadays, you have to be a marriage counselor, you have to run a taxi cab service, you have to be a financial advisor, you have to be a babysitter, you have to know how to do, you have to do a lot of everything. And that's okay. I mean, I don't mind helping people out, but I'm telling you something, brother, that's not what God called us to do. Our job is to preach and pray and get something from this Word, and if you love the Lord, nothing in that Bible is going to offend you. Let me say, secondly this morning, the praying won't offend you. Praying won't offend you. Somebody goes to all. I know people sometimes get seen, we start getting good around here, Lord starts moving, people just start going to the altar. You know there's people that get offended by stuff like that? Well, don't they know this isn't time for the invitation? Now listen, there ain't no such thing as bad time to go to the altar and get right with God. If you're here this morning, you're not right with God, I wouldn't even wait till I got through preaching. I'd run down here. You might die before I get through preaching. Jesus might come before you. Listen, the praying won't offend you if you love God like you're supposed to. Won't offend you. I'll never forget the first time I got saved up here at Nebo Baptist Church, and it was good. There were good people, but it was sort of quiet and reserved. And, you know, traditional Southern Baptist prayer. One person prayed. Everybody else just bowed their head. I'll never forget. I went to a free will revival one night. I'd been saved about 2 months. Man, we got in there and went in a prayer room. I didn't know what a prayer room was. Man, they all got down. They said, anybody got a request? This one had one. That one had one. This one had one. That one had one. This one had one. This one had one. And buddy, I'm telling you what, see what I'm talking about when you ladies come pray there. And you know what, buddy? You know what? I got to praying, and they said, all right, let's pray. And buddy, when I did, when they said let's pray, everybody and their brother got down. They started screaming and hollering. Ladies, come on. Pray for it right quick. And you know what? Brother, I tell you, everybody got to screaming and hollering. And the next thing, I couldn't believe it. I had never been in a room where ever, oh God, I don't know about your birth. The Lord have mercy. And you know what? I liked that. I liked it. I've heard people say, well, I just think it's awful everybody just praying out like that. I can't understand them. I said, well, duh, they ain't talking to you. You don't have to pray and want to feed you if you love God. Said one time this man got down to the altar, and he got down there and he said, oh God, please help me, oh God. And this little boy standing there on the front row, and he pulled his daddy's coat and he said, Daddy, if that man was closer to God, he wouldn't have to holler so loud, would he? That may be right. I don't know. That may be. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. Praying won't offend you if you love God. Ain't gonna bother you. You say, well, every day I've heard people out in public. I know you preachers. Brother Derek, he's pastor. Rick, he's pastor. And I know, have you ever done this? Meet somebody out in public at the store and they'll say, I really need you to pray for me. And you just feel like praying for them right there. I know you've done that. I have. I mean, you grab their hand and I'll say, dear God, and they start looking around, trying to jerk away from you and everything. You said you wanted me to pray for you. Not now. Wait till Sunday. I'm telling you, man, next time somebody says pray for you, grab your hand right there at work and say, oh God, I pray. Man, they'll be jerking around trying to get away from them. Listen, buddy, I'm telling you, I ain't saying pray out there in public. I'm not. I'm talking to my Heavenly Father. I know how some of you are. You get your lunch. You go back to there and scratch your eyebrows, you know, so everybody won't see you praying. But it ought not to bother you. Praying won't offend you. When we want to talk to God, if we pray at the beginning of the service and the middle of the service and the end of the service or the whole service, praying won't offend you. Amen. Praying won't offend you. I like what that old black preacher got up one time. There's at a preacher's convention, and this one preacher got up and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he got done. And the next preacher got up, the old black preacher got up, and he said, "Lord, have mercy. That last preacher asked the Lord for stuff I didn't even know he had." I like that, boy. He asked the Lord for stuff I didn't even know he had. Amen. Praying won't offend you. Amen. We have had people get mad because they put their name on the prayer list. They got my name on the prayer list. Tell them to take it off. Listen, you know why they say it? Because it's embarrassing. I don't want everybody down there praying for me. Look, man, I'm the pastor and I'm the first one on there. I'm on the prayer list every month when Miss Kay puts one out. I don't say, "Well, that's embarrassing. I don't want people to think I need prayer." Listen, buddy, put me at the top. Put me at the top. Brother Danny needs it better than everybody. I mean, I need it worse. I ain't too proud to say I need prayer. Praying don't offend you. If you love it. Amen? I said praying won't offend you. Let me say this morning, the program won't offend you. What we do here at church, if you love the Lord, it's scriptural. Brother, it won't offend you. Amen? I've heard people say, I've had this over and over. I've been pastoring 30 years. People get out of church 2 or 3 weeks, and I'll call them. They'll say, "Look, we're having some problems, and don't come and visit us, and tell nobody at the church to come visit us." I said, "Okay." And you see them about a month later, we've been out a month. Not one person in the church has been to see us. You know what I mean? You can't, if you go see them, they get mad. If you don't go see them, they get mad. If you go see them, they say, "Don't come over here preaching to us." If you don't go see them, they say, "The people don't care." I'm going to tell you something this morning, and you hear me real good. If you love this Bible, and you love Jesus Christ, and you love the Lord, it doesn't matter if somebody comes and holds your hand while you blow your nose. It doesn't matter if somebody comes and brings you groceries because you're $5 short. You're going to be in God's house. Listen to this book. That Bible says nothing will offend you. Nothing will offend you. Amen? I've had people get mad because they didn't bring them groceries. And I think that's good. We ought to do that. It's biblical. We ought to do it. But I'm going to tell you something. You ain't got no right to complain. You ain't got no right to complain about your church. A Christian complaining, a Christian whose name's in the book of life, who ain't going to hell when they die, complaining is sort of like Britney Spears saying she can't afford her child support. A Christian complaining would be on the same level as Paris Hilton saying her parents have never done nothing for her. A Christian complaining, a Christian griping and complaining would fall in the same category of Hugh Hefner saying he had never been on a date. I mean, the Christian complaining would fall in the same category of Michael Jordan saying he never got a fair chance to show his skills. I mean, shut up! Brother, great day in the morning. We have nothing to gripe about. A Christian complaining is about like Hillary saying Bill tells her what to do. Brother, that's ridiculous. We ain't got no reason to complain. We have nothing to gripe about. Our name's in God's book. The devil can't take it out. We're going to miss hell. The Holy Ghost is our comforter. Jesus is our Savior. We're heaven bound with a hammer down. We ain't got nothing to complain about. What a shout the roof off every time we come in. Amen. I mean, you can scream and holler at a ball game like a Comanche Indian and come to church and sit like a wooden Indian. Look like your mama-in-law moved in with you. You ought to praise God and say, "Listen, you ain't getting me out of that church. Nothing shall offend you." I found out my daddy told me years ago. Many of you remember my dad? He wasn't educated. But he had more sense in his little finger than a lot of college graduates do in their head. I ain't kidding. Common sense. And Daddy said, "People do what they want to do." Amen. That's good common sense. People do what they want to do, and what they don't want to do, they'll make an excuse to keep them doing it. And I found that to be true. If you want to do it, you'll do it. If you don't, you find some reason why you can't. Amen. The preaching, the program, the prayer won't offend you. I've heard preachers get up in revival where I was preaching and say, folks, I don't want to kill the service tonight, but we're going to have to take up an offering. I always want to do it. I'll just keep my mouth shut. I'm just a visiting preacher. But I'm telling you something, buddy. If taking up an offering kills the service, you didn't have nothing to kill. It's like your turkey. He's done dead before you got it. I mean, that's just dead before you got there, buddy. Listen, if taking up an offering won't offend you if you love God. Well, every time I go down there, they want money. Yeah, well, so is Walmart. Every time you go down there, they want money. You keep going there, don't you? Religiously. You go when you don't even need to go. Just go look around and see if you can buy something. And they don't even let you out there without money. Everywhere you go, they want money. And at least we give you a choice. You can give, you don't have to give. Ain't nobody going to say nothing to you. What if we had the deacon set up outside there with a little booth, you know, with a stamp, you know, $5. $5 for children, $7.50 for adults. Why, you'd have a heart attack. I mean, Lord, I can't believe they're charging money down. Well, the power company don't give us this electricity, and the man don't just give us this building for free. Taking up an offering won't bother you one bit if you love Jesus and love that Bible. It won't bother you. I've heard people say, why do you always have to take up an offering? Every time they come in the Old Testament, they brought an offering. Every time they come to worship, the offering is a part of worship. It's just like singing. It's just like praying. Giving is a part of worship. It ought to make you mad if we come to church and don't take up an offering. Don't everybody shout all at the same time. The program won't offend you. I've heard people get mad at the Christmas plays. They didn't believe in it. One preacher said, I can't believe you got a bell bush in your house. I said, yeah. Got a bell bush. I'm sorry. He said, I don't believe in that. But he put Christmas lights all around the house. I said, I got a bell bush in my house 12 months a year. It's a ficus tree, and I got little white lights on it. And we live there all the time. You reckon that God's going to curse me for that? I mean, I think anybody's a hypocrite who thinks it's wrong to have a Christmas tree but got a TV. I mean, duh. You mean tell me a Christmas tree going to hurt you worse than a TV? Give me a break. Would you? I mean, I don't care if you got one or not. They ain't going to help you. They ain't going to hurt you. But I'm going to tell you something, brother, the tree. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. Listen, the program won't offend you. We had a Christmas play one time. We've had some weird, crazy stuff happen at Christmas plays. One time we had this little bitty Joseph and Mary. And they had Mary sitting on a bale of hay with baby Jesus. That was stacked up about that high. And there was little Mary. Had a little thing over here. She was about 5 years old. Right in the middle of the play, her feet went straight up. She fell backwards. Boom! There went Mary and baby Jesus. I won't offend you. I won't offend you if you love the Lord. We've had some other stuff happen I won't go into. Like old Jack Howell said, he's preaching one Sunday morning, and he said this guy hadn't been saved very long. He's sitting right near the front row. Jack Howell said, come down real hard on Sunday. He said, the Bible said what? He made a big point. He said, ain't that right? And that guy hollered out, he was real quiet, and that guy hollered out, you be right, preacher. Except if he said it. And he said, everybody about had a heart attack. And he said, the Lord probably said, amen, brother, amen. You know why? Because his heart was right. His mouth wasn't completely straightened out yet, but his heart was right. These people over here had their act together and all religious, but their heart was wicked and black. Amen? The program won't offend you. Well, he knows that I come and had a song on my heart, and he didn't ask me to sing. And he deliberately called on that other singer. Singing groups are some of the worst in the world. Worst in the world. Besides preachers, they get the devil in them quicker than anybody. Preacher gets the devil in them quicker than anybody, and then the singers right after that. Look, if you was the devil, where would you start? I mean, it don't take a genius to figure out where you'd start. And somebody said, well, I've heard people, when somebody else is singing, they'll just sit there and look at the floor. But then when their groups, everybody's mad at everybody for not shouting. I've heard preachers get up and say, shut up while I'm preaching. And as soon as they sit down, they talk through the whole next preacher till their buddy's sitting beside them. Come on now, amen. The program won't offend you. We can't please everybody. Let me say fourthly this morning, I'm going to have to hurry. Lord, have mercy. I don't usually preach as long as Sunday morning. You must need it bad. The power won't offend you. The power won't offend you. The power won't offend you. Amen? Now, let's just be honest about it tonight. People have got just a little bit too uppity. You know what we say out in the country? They say two things. You got too big for your britches. You know what that means, don't you? Or he's trying to act above his raising. Anybody ever heard that old saying? He's acting above his raising. That means you was raised a certain way, and you're trying to be some big shot. It's like somebody from around here in Marion and Morgan and going off to school and coming back trying to speak like a Yankee. You know, don't let this make you throw up. But you mean say, oh, the lights are pretty in here, Pastor. Well, shut up. We know where you're from, Nebo. You know, come on now. Give us a break. Listen, you got a little bit too big shot for your britches there, ain't you, buddy? Listen, I'm telling you something, and you know what? You listen to me. There are thousands of people in this community, in this part of the country, that are well-to-do. We live in an upper crust, nice house, drive a nice car. We are not going to church where these breast-beating fanatics get in the altar and scream and holler, and I actually saw somebody run around the building like a crazy person. I actually saw some woman sit up and wave her hands. And when I said this morning, if you love the Bible, the power won't offend you. It's not going to bother you when somebody praises the Lord. Surely some of it's probably in the flesh. Absolutely. So ain't all of it of God. I mean, I ain't stupid. But brother, it ain't going to bother you a bit if somebody praises God. I know people that brought their big shot friends to church with them one Sunday morning and sat there and prayed, Lord, don't let the boys start shouting this morning. Now they're fanatics. Don't pay no attention to them. There are these people, these bumper stickers all over their car, you know. I mean, they go to our church, but they're a little bit out there. They're a little bit worse than we are. Listen, Adam, you ought to be proud of them for wearing bumper stickers. You ought to thank God you go to a place where people are not ashamed of Jesus Christ and wave their hands and say hallelujah once in a while. I'm telling you, the power won't offend you. I tell you what will embarrass you, a dead, quiet church service. That ought to embarrass you. Amen. I want to tell you a Bible illustration, a couple things, and I'm through. David in the Bible come back after a great victory. And he come back, and his wife, the king's daughter, was wicked, and she was upstairs looking out the window at him. And she was looking at him down there, and there's a bunch of young maidens and stuff down there, had a little youth meeting down there, and King David come in and shouted his fool head off. Bible said he danced before the Lord with all of his might. David did not take his heart and go, bring, hallelujah, hallelujah. That is not with all your might. I'm not trying to be ugly. That is not what David did. He didn't, you know, El Shaddai, how should I ever get out of this mess? You know, that ain't what David did. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David came and said, God of God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Give me my King James Bible. That's what David did. Amen. Now, his wife was a little bit too uppity for that. And she looked out the window and said, oh, this is disgusting. That's embarrassing. My daddy's the king. We hang out with big shots and politicians. Look at him down there spitting, slobbering. And she came in, and he came in that evening, and she said, how glorious was the king of Israel today who uncovered himself in front of the maidens. Down there flirting, wasn't he? And he said, I'll be more vile than this, sister. He said, it was God that brought me out of that bondage, and God took care of me, and God gave me the victory, and I ain't going to quit praising him. I don't think any of you wives in here would be wicked and say, please don't jump up and don't do that. Surely to the Lord ain't no you wives in here that wicked. You got a husband that shouts, you ought to shout yourself. Or a wife, either one. Let me tell you what God done to that woman, Michael. Bible said God shut her womb and she couldn't have no kids the rest of her life. I read that one day and it hit me like that. And Brother Rick, I never forgot that. I know what's wrong with all these churches. They've made fun of old-time religion and shouting and praising God and crying. They say, and God, they shut their womb up, brother. Here, nobody gets saved. Nobody can go get saved in an atmosphere where you're ashamed to worship God. Who do we think we are? Do we honestly think we're too big shot to raise our hands or weep or shed a tear or get down on our knees at an altar? Let me tell you something this morning, brother. We're nothing but dust. We're nothing but wicked. There ain't nothing good about none of us. It ought to be a privilege to kneel in this altar and thank God we ain't in hell this morning. The power won't offend you. You know what the Bible said in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3? It said they were offended in him. Well, my pastor offended me. They got offended at Jesus Christ. That helped me when I read that. In Matthew 26:33, Peter said one night, he said, all of them will be offended, but not I. I ain't going to get offended, Lord. And he cussed for them. That was over. Proverbs 18:19. While I've been preaching, some of you have been thinking about people. Well, oh, so-and-so need to hear that. Well, oh, so-and-so need to hear that. I wish so-and-so had heard that. Let me tell you, how come you can't help so-and-so? Because in Proverbs 18, it said, a brother offended is harder to be won than a city. It's easier to take over a city than help somebody after giving. That's why you don't let it happen. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple things right quick, how not to get offended in church, and then I'm going to quit. Here's how you don't get offended. You don't want to get offended? Here's how you do it. The Bible said, love this book. If you love the Bible, your chances of being offended are minimal to none. Number two, you listening? You got to remember that you're not the only person in the world or in the church. Some people feel like they're the only person and everything revolves around them, and if it don't go their way, well, listen, people, there's other people. I was going to preach a sermon like that up at New Manor one time, a long time ago, and I never did really do it, but I mention it. The title of the sermon is, there's other people in here besides you. That'd be a good sermon, wouldn't it? There's other people in here. Some people think, well, this didn't go my way, and one lady said she didn't get the Sunday school class she wanted, so she's quitting church. I said, well, that proves one thing. She didn't need to be teaching Sunday school. If you get mad because you didn't get to teach Sunday school class with church, you proved it. We done the right thing by not choosing you. You're supposed to be in a nursery sucking a pacifier. You're not the only person in here. And I'll tell you something else. No matter what happens, God's been good to you. And you ain't getting what you really deserve. Church ain't perfect. Preacher told D.L. Moody one time, they're sitting at a place eating, and I'm through. Come on, Miss Desi, you can get ready to place up. Preacher told her, he told D.L. Moody, I don't have to go to church to live right. What do you got to say to that, preacher? I don't have to go to church to live right. I had a man tell me that just a few days ago, right here in this town. D.L. Moody never said a word. He didn't argue with him. He just walked over to the fireplace. And he took them tongs and got a big hot coal out of the fire. And he laid it over here by itself. And he just come back and sat down. And they just kept talking. And in a few minutes, that one was just cold as ice. And that guy looked at me and said, I see your point, preacher. You've made your point. That coal gonna stay hot by itself. It's got to stay with them. You want to stay right with God? Get your feelings off your shoulder